feelings here that only comes. How many of you are ready for the worst Christmas ever? Wow. Some of you are asking, what kind of sermon series is this? Well, it's going to be a very encouraging one, I can tell you that. Matter of fact, each week we're going to share stories of what I would call Christmas disasters. If you have a story about the worst Christmas ever, write it down, send it to me in an email. And remember, if you send it to me in an email, you're basically giving me permission to share, and I will not mention the names of all the guilty parties that you want me to keep track of. But if you have a story about, you know, something burned, wrong gift, or something, some sort of Christmas disaster, we'd love to share that with our family, so to speak, as part of this series. To start off with, today we're talking about a disappointing Christmas. Isn't that an encouraging title? I have found a video of some parents who pranked their kids for Christmas. They took a challenge from one of the TV shows to give their kids some presents. And let's just say the kids were a little bit disappointed. Watch this.
What'd you get, Charlie?
I don't like this.
Oh. What is it?
An old banana.
An old banana? Isn't that exciting? What are you doing?
Pushing it.
Oh, okay.
Wow. A battery and an onion.
What's wrong?
I don't want an onion.
Did you smell your onion?
Yeah.
Here, smell it.
What is that?
I got a girl activity book with stickers. I'm not a girl.
Me, I'm not a boy.
I'm not a boy either.
It's the worst present ever.
What is this?
Marissa, what do you tell me all the time about my cooking?
I love it.
You love my cooking, so I made you something. So you don't want that peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I'll eat it.
It's a half-eaten sandwich. Isn't that what you asked for?
No, I asked for a toy.
What did you get, Jason? Some black beans, cheese, and a Waffle House hat. What's in there?
A bag of...
Oh, you got a Mr. Potato Head.
Santa. No, did Santa did not have those things. I saw you in the car in the garage. Those things were not from Santa Claus.
Are you upset?
Mm-hmm. What? I got ponies?
That was your great-grandpa's hand.
I got ponies?
What's the price? What's wrong? You're not excited about your
presents?
I got
ponies. I don't want ponies. They're for girls.
Guys,
mine is a stupid book.
We thought really hard about what to get you this year.
Well, you didn't do a very good job. It's the worst Christmas I ever had.
All right. If you have a story, share it with us. We'll all enjoy it. Luke chapter 1 is a story that's the beginning of the Christmas story that is a story that I think will fit this title, A Disappointing Christmas, and it illustrates the idea of disappointment and what we can do about it. It's the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 5. says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So they were both descendants of the priest's line in Israel. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And I love this line, they were both very old. We'll come back to that in a minute. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Now that's Greek for he messed his pants. He was afraid. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him," what's his name? Do you get who this story is about yet? John the Baptist. "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other ferment to drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he couldn't speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown me his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Now, I want to use the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth to talk about a disappointing Christmas, because four D's, or four observations, all start with the letter D. The first is that this is a story of disappointment. A story of disappointment. Now, in Zechariah's time, there were probably more than 20,000 priests like him serving in Israel. Remember, anybody who was a direct descendant of Aaron in the Old Testament was a priest by birth. And so Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, was also born to a priestly family. And it wasn't required that a priest marry a wife who was also from the priestly line as well. But when that did happen, they were doubly blessed. Now, the Bible says, Luke says here, that Zechariah and Elizabeth were upright and they worked hard to be obedient to the Lord. So they were upright in the sight of others, and they were righteous in the sight of God. Now, that doesn't mean they were perfect, but it means they were faithful, and they were serving God, and they were doing the right thing the right way. But chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old." Now, this is a story of disappointment because the one issue in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth was the fact that they didn't have any kids. Now, it may be hard for us to understand in these days what it was like to be childless in those days, but remember, the scripture says children are a heritage from the Lord. So a woman who could not have children probably was considered somewhat defective in this time. A lot of people would have looked at her as if she was cursed by God. A husband, by the way, could legally divorce his wife in this time simply for not bearing him children. Now I want you to, and remember, notice how Elizabeth felt about herself at the end of these verses that we read. She said, the Lord has taken away my disgrace. I mean, disgrace is a pretty harsh word to describe yourself simply because you couldn't have a baby, but it was a label worn by women in that culture who could not bear children. Now listen closely. There are some here who know what it's like. That you know what Elizabeth went through. You know what Zechariah went through because you have tried for years to have a baby, but you haven't had to. You haven't been able to. There are some here who know what it's like to have conceived a child, but the baby didn't survive the pregnancy. There are grandparents here that have walked through this valley with your kids. You want to be grandparents, but it never came to pass, and it's not easy walking through those valleys of disappointment. But aren't you glad that Zechariah and Elizabeth's story reminds you that you're not alone? And I love the fact that the scripture says they were blameless. Because sometimes when you walk through a valley like this, people can blame themselves. But I believe the Lord has sent us here today to remind you that it's not your fault, that you're not broken, you're not cursed by God. Verse 6 says, they were both righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Yet they did not get what they wanted from God in the time frame they thought they should have. Are you listening? They were righteous. They were serving God. They were in the church. They were doing everything God asked them to do. So why wouldn't God give them what they want when they wanted it? Someone put it this way, disappointment is the gap between what I expect and what I experience. Isn't that true? Disappointment is the gap between what I expect and what I experience. That time between can be very disappointed. Now, do you think that Zechariah and Elizabeth were disappointed in God? Probably. Here they were, faithful, both from parents of priests, both in the church or in the synagogue, serving the Lord faithfully. They were probably disappointed in God. Do you think perhaps Zechariah was disappointed in Elizabeth? He could have been. I'm not going to have a child because of her. Maybe it was Elizabeth that was disappointed in Zechariah. Hey man, you're the priest. You're the one who prays. Where's your faith? Come on! Talk to God for me. They could have gotten into the blame game like a lot of couples do. What's wrong with you? Why don't you do this? And we begin to disappoint each other and we begin to blame each other. They could have focused on their disappointment with God and their disappointment with each other. Now listen closely, listen. The enemy wants us to focus on how disappointed you are in your family, in your spouse, how disappointed you are in your life. Now listen, if you rehearse what he or she did wrong over and over, if you sow disappointment, what are you going to reap? Disappointment. And if you're constantly thinking about it coulda, shoulda, woulda, can I tell you what? No one will be able to please you. You will never be happy. You will never be blessed. But perhaps you came to church today and maybe you're disappointed with God. Maybe you wanted to be married all your life, but the right person just hasn't come along yet. Or maybe you have been married, but it didn't work out the way you thought. Something happened and things are broken and your life's not what you planned at all. Maybe you had a dream or a vision for a career or a business or even a ministry, and maybe the business failed, the dream never came to fruition. Or perhaps your kids' choices have disappointed you, or a church has disappointed you, or a pastor has disappointed you. And translated, that means God has disappointed you. I want to encourage you today. The opposite of disappointment is belief. So let's choose to believe, make a decision to believe. Because Zechariah and Elizabeth's story was not over with their disappointment, and yours isn't either. Are you here today? It's a story of disappointment. Here's the second D. It's a story of delay. A story of delay. I love it. It says a couple times in verse 7, it says they were very old. Now, let's just step back for a second. What does very old mean? Let's define it, okay? How many are here today would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I am very old? That's not many takers, all right? Those of you that confess that, we'll pray for your faith at the end here today. Now, listen. When I was, let's just say, younger, I thought 40 was really old. Anybody remember that? You know, well, I passed 40 a few years ago. It doesn't seem that old to me anymore, right? I remember being a teenager when my parents celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary, and I just remember thinking, man, they're old. Next year, my young bride and I will celebrate 25 years. And I'm like, that doesn't seem that old. And this couple of days ago, I was with my mom and dad, you know, and she's 77 and he's 74, you know, and I used to think, man, that's really old. They're doing fine. So how many know very old is a relative term? But if the Bible says you're very old, you're very old. And that's what it says. They were both very old. Now, so the angel says to Zechariah in verse 20, you did not believe my words, which will come true. Here's the key part. At their appointed time. Here's the thing with God and God's word. God's word will always come to pass. The scripture says he watches over his word to perform it. The scripture says that God's word will never pass away, but there's always an appointed time. I put some extra verses there in your notes today talking about the different times. The Bible says there's a time for everything. I love the verse there in John chapter 17. Jesus said, my time has not come yet, but any time is suitable for you. Isn't that great? Well, when's a good time to answer the prayer for us? Anytime, God. Jesus said, there's a time. My time has not come. There's a time for God's word to come to fulfillment. Can I tell you that even the most godly people have had seasons of unanswered prayer? Listen closely. Even the most godly people have had seasons of delay when they don't understand what God is doing. In Psalm chapter 13, verse 1, David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Have you ever prayed like that? How long, Jesus? I've been praying about this 5 days now. Well, I've been praying about this 5 weeks or 5 months or 5 years. We say, how long, Jesus? And we have this delay. But maybe God's doing something in the delay. Maybe there's a story that's part of the delay. A few months ago, I was in Africa, and we were in Alexandria, Egypt, on the north coast of Egypt, right by the Mediterranean Ocean. I ate in a restaurant that particular day. I should have brought the picture. First time I've ever eaten an entire fish. You know, the kind that they just caught it and dropped it in the oil. It was the best food I've had in a long time. It was awesome. I don't know why I shared that. I just thought it was very important. But I met the team that is starting a CrossFit gym in Alexandria. And out of this gym, they're going to build relationships to start house churches. And the reason is because it's illegal to build a church in Alexandria, Egypt. It's a very heavily Muslim-dominated area. And so their strategy is building relationships because everybody wants, you know, everybody's into this CrossFit thing. And so you have the team of people who are leading this are all incredibly athletic. I told you the story about John a couple Sundays ago, the guy from Kentucky, the former UFC fighter who got saved. And now he's using his skills to train and win people to Jesus. And out of this, they're going to start house churches. Well, the leader of the team, his name is Alberto. And he's from Uruguay. And in Alexandria, the pastors who were with me, the business guys who were with me, were in his flat, so to speak, is the name they call the place where they live. And he's telling his story, his testimony. He says, I grew up in the home of a pastor. And he goes, all my life, I wanted to be in the ministry. I wanted to preach, and I wanted to be a pastor of a church. He goes, but for whatever reason, God never answered my prayer. And so I was athletic, and he says I was very much into rugby. And just picture this. Alberto, I mean, he is a solid man. I mean, you hug him, he's like, don't break me, okay? I mean, just a big guy. And so God blessed his athletic ability to the point where he became the coach of a national team of rugby. And so he's the team leader, along with another rugby player, John, the former UFC fighter, and a few other folks. Now they're using his background in sports as a platform to win people to Jesus, to plant a church of which he will be the pastor. It didn't happen when he wanted it to happen. The delay took a long time, he said, and he said, I was very frustrated with God. But only in hindsight can you look back and say, in the delay, God was doing something. In the delay, God was preparing him. So if you're here this morning and you're discouraged by the delay of God answering your prayer, I want you to ask yourself, what is God doing in the delay? What is God preparing in me for the delay? Because there is no doubt that the word of the Lord will come to pass at the appointed time. Somebody say amen. Here's the third part of the story. It's a story of disappointment, it's a story of delay, and it's a story of doubt. A story of doubt. Zechariah asked the angel. There it is. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? The angel says, you know, you're going to have a baby. I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, dude, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. I mean, he's like, you know, Zechariah, I'm Gabriel. You know, and remember, the Bible says that when Gabriel appeared, he had to tell Zechariah, don't be afraid. Have you ever noticed that when an angel appears, nearly every time in the Bible, the very first thing they have to say is, don't be afraid. That pretty much tells you that the precious moments, angels are jacked up. You know, not really angels. I mean, fine if you have all those things, but we kind of get the wrong idea of angels, don't we? It was so scary that they had to keep saying, don't be afraid. So the angel Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel shows up to make this announcement. You know, Zechariah, you're going to have a baby. And Zechariah's response is, how? And I just wonder sometimes what the angels' conversations must be with God. God, are you sure about these people? I mean, God dispatches Gabriel to go to Zechariah. Hey, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a baby. And Zechariah says, how? Watch this. God gives us the wow, and all we can ask is how. The wow was when the angel showed up and said, I stand in the presence of God, man. I was just there. You know, asking me how God's going to do this is like asking how I just translated through the portals of time and galaxies. I was in heaven, now I'm here. It's like asking, how did God create the world? I don't have to understand it. I don't have to have it explained to me. He's God and I'm not. And if he said it, it's going to come to pass. Am I in the right church here today? Listen, God answers Zechariah's prayer. Now, what happened to Zechariah as a result of his doubt? Look at what it says. And now you will be what? You will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true. Watch this. At their appointed time. God's word will come true, but it looks as if, see if you see this with me, it looks as if Gabriel is telling Zechariah, listen, this word's going to come true, but in order for it to come to pass, you're going to have to shut up. You're going to have to be quiet. I wonder sometimes if our words keep us from miracles. What if the angel was saying, Zechariah, if you don't be quiet with the doubting, I won't be able to do the miracle. Do you agree that there is a connection between our words and our faith? Do you believe that? I believe if we want to start seeing the power of God activated in our lives, we need to start watching what we say. Let me say that again. One of the reasons that we don't see the power of God in action as much as we'd like is because of our words, our negativity, our constant criticism. Come on, somebody. Our doubting, our lack of faith. And I think this story illustrates that there's a connection between our words and our faith, so much so that the angel had to shut Zechariah's mouth until it came to pass. Now, I realize there's a lot that has been taught about this over the years and has gotten out of balance. Some people say, well, are you just blabbing it and grabbing it, you know, confessing it and possessing it? I realize there are some folks that have gotten out of balance in this area, but it still says in Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus said, if you believe in your heart, you got the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. It's still there in the Bible. And I don't begin to understand all of it, but here's what I do know. There's a connection between my words and my faith. And this story illustrates that so much so that there's a connection between your words, your faith, and your miracle. And I believe the angel took the drastic step of silencing Zechariah so the miracle could be accomplished. What does that mean for us here today? I believe what that means is that we should stop cursing our situations. Stop saying, this will never happen. I will never, will never. Stop cursing your family. Stop cursing your future by saying, you know, this will, nothing good ever happens to us. Nothing, blah, blah, blah. We're just negative, negative, negative. Stop saying it. I have a deep spiritual revelation for everybody here today. Are you ready for it? You may want to write this down. It's so deep. You should align your words with God's words, or you should shut your mouth. I believe that. Align your words with God's words. Say what God says. If God says it, that's what I'm going to say. And if it's not aligning your words with God's words, don't say anything. Do what Zechariah did. Shut up and let God bring it to pass. Amen? Here's the last part, and then we're going to pray. It's a story of, if this was just a story of disappointment, I don't believe it'd be in the Bible. If it was just a story of delay or doubt, it wouldn't be in the Bible. But the reason this story is in the Bible is because it's also a story of dedication. This is where it gets good. Verse 8 is the key, I think, to understanding this entire story. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, they were disappointed. God hadn't answered their prayer. The delay hadn't come at the time that they thought. The answer did not come in the time that they thought. And they were doubting. So why in the world would God move in that situation? Why in the world would God answer their prayer? Can I tell you? Because of dedication. He was on duty and he was serving. Through all of the years of disappointment, through all of the delay of unanswered prayer, did Zechariah quit? Did Elizabeth quit? No, they stayed faithful. They were on duty and they were serving. They were on duty and they were serving. Zechariah showed up at the temple and God gave him a miracle. It was just a regular old day, just another day in the life of a priest. Just another Sunday morning church service, just another worship service, just another message from Pastor Wayne, just another time serving in the parking lot, just another time serving in the nursery, just another time going down to feed the homeless on Saturday. It's just another day. But he was faithful. He was on duty, and he was serving. And on that day, God showed up and gave him a miracle. I want you to notice that Zechariah didn't say to God, God, you didn't do this for me, so I'm not going to serve you or I'm not going to serve others. He didn't walk away from his ministry. He didn't walk away from the church because God didn't answer his prayer. Come on, somebody. You got to ask yourself, those of you that are walking through these things, why is the enemy trying so hard to get you to quit? To walk away? to walk away. Can I tell you, you gotta recognize, because in the dedication is where the miracle takes place. It's in the faithfulness that God shows up. He's trying to distract you by blaming everybody else for what's going on, or to discourage you, or be disappointed, to separate you from God's family. Why? Because it's in your dedication that God does the miracle. What do you do when you're disappointed with God and with others? What do you do when the answer is delayed? You stay dedicated. You show up for duty and you serve. Because we're not God. We don't understand everything. We don't understand times and seasons. He's God, and He simply calls us to be what? To be faithful. Just keep showing up and just keep serving. Anybody receiving this here today? Well, some of you say, you know what? A pastor, I mean, the verses say a lot. They cast lots and it fell on Zechariah. He pretty much won the priest lottery that day. You know, he was pretty lucky. Really. He was lucky. Guess what? He could have quit and not even been there that day. He could have walked away from his faith and been discouraged with God. And guess what? He would have never received the miracle. Can I just go ahead and talk to you real sincerely for a second? Not that everything I've said so far hasn't been sincere. But we are starting as a culture to believe way too much in luck. Give me your eyeballs, everybody. Oh, they're lucky, or it's fate, or it's karma. God, help us all. Listen, it wasn't luck. It was faithfulness. It was dedication. He just kept showing up. And it's not glamorous. It's not glamorous to keep showing up for work, showing up for ministry, showing up for your family. It's not glamorous, but that's where the power is. That's where the glory comes. That's where the blessing is, in faithfulness. Is anybody hearing me today? This is a story of dedication. You know, as a priest, Zechariah, when he was called to go into the temple to offer incense and prayers, I want you to go with me in your mind's eye, because he would have gone into the temple. One of the prayers that he would have been praying that day was a prayer of hope for the coming of the Messiah. That's what the priests did when they went into the holy place to offer prayers. I want you to put yourself in Zechariah's shoes. Disappointed, discouraged, delayed. I'm just an old man. But yet, in his dedication, he's reciting prayers of hope. Now, this prayer would not have sounded exactly like this song we're about to sing, but I think it captures the essence of hope of the prayers of the people of Israel as they would pray for the coming Messiah. Remember, this is before Jesus was born. I want you to put yourself in Zechariah's shoes, there in the temple, there in the holy place, singing a song something like this.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to us, O Israel. Disperse the
This room. I'm going to ask that no one be leaving. Would you honor this sacred moment? This is a story of dedication. We're about to pray here in just a moment, and I believe that God has uniquely appointed many of you to be here today. Today's your divine appointment. It's a story of dedication. It's a story of a man and a woman dedicated to one another. Instead of focusing on their disappointment, instead of blaming one another, they remained dedicated to one another. Now listen, Zechariah could have put Elizabeth away as his wife and sought out somebody else, but he did not do that. If you're here this morning and your marriage is in trouble, there's difficulty or things are going on, the temptation is always walk away. You know, you deserve better. You deserve this. If you start playing that game, what's in front of you is destruction. The answer, the solution, is faithfulness, dedication. There's more than one married couple here that's been married more than a few years that will tell you that there was a time in the past when they thought about walking away. Through disappointment, through delay, through doubt, whatever's going on. But they stay dedicated to one another. And now their testimony is, through it all, God has done even greater things than we could ever imagine. God has done wonderful things in us and through our family. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, whatever, but I could call a bunch of people up here and they could tell you that's their testimony. So I'm encouraging you here today. You may be walking through valleys of disappointment and discouragement and delay right now, but you stay faithful and watch God honor you. And watch God honor your choices. Am I in the right church here today? That's God's word for us here. This is a story of a man and woman who remained dedicated to God. They didn't give up on God. They didn't walk away from God. Even though God didn't do for them what they wanted in the time frame that they wanted. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're disappointed with God, don't walk away. Don't leave the family of God. Stay faithful. Remember, when you stand before the Lord on that last day, He's going to say to you, well done, good and faithful. That's what He's looking for, church. He's looking for people who are faithful. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Again, no one leaving, please. Bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you're here this morning and you're honest, you're saying, Pastor, when you were talking about being disappointed with God, I felt the Holy Spirit tugging at my heart because if I'm honest, there have been times in my life I've been disappointed with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. How many of you here would say, Pastor, I've been praying about something, I've been praying for something for years and years, but there's a delay, and I'll be honest, I'm discouraged. I'm like Zechariah, and I'm like, I'm wondering if it'll ever happen. But today, God has sparked new faith in me to believe that He's going to do it in His appointed time. Raise your hand if that's you here today. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. You can put your hands down. One last question. You're here today, and you recognize that the enemy has been working you over in the area of doubt and fear. Doubt that God will do what He says to do. Maybe fear of something or even to the point of walking away. And today, God has reminded you that He's faithful and He calls you to be faithful. And you're ready to rededicate your heart and your life to Him with everything you have. Raise your hand real high all over this place. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, God. Would you look at me, church? We're going to sing one more song. And while we sing, I believe God wants to do a good work in your life. I want you to do what Zechariah did all those years ago. And I want you to take a step of faith and come to this altar and pray one more time. It's just an altar call. It's just another Sunday morning. It's just another day in church. That's exactly where Zechariah was. But on that same simple day, an angel showed up and had an answer from heaven. Pastor, are you saying if I come down there, an angel's going to show up? No, I can't guarantee that. But I can tell you, if you're faithful to ask, God's faithful to answer. Amen? And you are putting yourself in position for God to do a work. I know that God wants to heal some hearts, encourage some people, and speak into your life. If you raised your hand for any of those reasons, and a lot of you did, I want to invite you to come to the front of the altar here today, and let's spend a few moments in prayer, talking to Jesus about it, giving our disappointments to Him, asking God to forgive us, increasing our faith. As we sing this song, every one of you that raised your hand, would you make your way forward, and we'll pray together. Leaders, you're going to come with them and pray with them. They're already coming. Go ahead and sing, and let's come, and let's pray. Let's seek the Lord today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
It's not over.
If you raise your hand, we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you.
It's not ending.
Pastors and leaders, you're coming with them, and pray with them today. Thank you, God.
When God is in it, all things are new. Ooh, ooh, all things are new. Ooh. And I know it's dark.
Just talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
This might be the hardest season you've experienced. And I know it hurts. It won't be too long. You're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you've been before. So look to the sky, help is on the way. It's not over, it's not finished, it's not ending, it's only the beginning. It's not over, it's not finished, it's not ending, it's only changing, and everything is different now. Here comes the sun, piercing the clouds. You're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you've been before. So look to the sky.
Look to the sky.
Help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
Our God is faithful.
Things are new.
turning around. Seasons are changing, everything is different now. Here comes the sun, piercing the clouds. You're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you've been before. So look to the sky. Help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
Our God is faithful. He's faithful to save. It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending. It's only the beginning, not over. It's not finished. It's not ending. It's only the beginning when God is in it. When God is in it.
Church, would you stretch your hands toward these men and women, and can we pray for them? Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus for all the disappointment and all the hurt and all the discouragement and all of the doubt. God, today we just leave it at your feet. We bring it to you because you're a good, good Father, and you love us. You're full of grace and mercy, and we are so grateful for that. God, this Christmas, we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray, God, that there would be a season of miracles for them, a season of the supernatural, a season of great provision. God, would you reach down from heaven? Would you heal their hearts, renew their faith? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's one more part of the story I want to share with you, because Zechariah, since he was chosen to be the priest who offers incense, remember the scripture says that there was a crowd of worshipers gathered outside the temple. So one of the duties of the priest after he went in to offer incense, he would have come out of the temple and he would have stretched his hands toward the congregation of worshipers and he would have given them the priestly blessing from the book of Numbers that we do around here so much. But remember, he was quiet. He couldn't speak. So that blessing was delayed until his son was born. And that son that was born was the one who introduced Jesus Christ to the whole world when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." So today I'd like to give you the same blessing that the priest would have given to them that we all receive now through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God give you courage to serve him through all of the delays and through all of the doubts and through all of the disappointments of life. May you be faithful to the end. May you be like Zechariah and Elizabeth, dedicated to God and dedicated to one another. And may God give you a miracle. In Jesus' name, I bless you. And everybody said, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad you did too. Hey, before you leave today, I want to remind you, we're looking for people to sponsor these kids, 300 kids for the world's largest Christmas party. Don't forget to volunteer for the construction of the singing Christmas tree. Need some guys to volunteer Tuesday night for the ladies' banquet. Join me in helping serve the ladies. Have a wonderful day in Jesus Christ. We love you. Bring somebody to church next week.